Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
David Wells has pitched a perfect game. 27 up, 27 down. Baseball immortality for David Wells. And the Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, good morning. 404, call his wife in. Wake up! Wake up, Rangers! They came out flat in Game 1. They cannot afford to do the same in Game 2 Friday night. Huge game for the New York Rangers. After coming out flat, after really, and Florida came out, played their game, kept the crowd out of it. I know that's kind of become a talking point. The crowd was a little, I don't think it was the broadcast. I think it was the Rangers played sloppy, a sloppy game. Turned the puck over, 12 giveaways in the game, didn't get much offensively going at all, and Florida played the game that they try and play and kept this crowd out of it. And I know I could hear the whistles of the stupid, you know, Potvin sucks chant, so I know you could hear the crowd. It wasn't the mics were down because I heard those stupid whistles. That's how quiet it was. You could hear the whistles. So the crowd was taken out of it, and this is the second time now in the last two games at Madison Square Garden where I felt like the Rangers came out and were not aggressive, did not play with an edge, and allowed the other team to take it to them. Even though they had a one-goal lead for a long time in Game 5 against Carolina, it felt like Carolina was the better team. And certainly last night, Florida was the better team, and Florida had the better goalie. As, you know, again, I'm not, you know, Igor wasn't awful. But Igor didn't face a ton of shots. Obviously, neither did Bobrovsky. But Igor didn't face a ton of shots. And for me, the two goals that were scored, the first one's a soft goal. And then the second goal, yes, you know, Lafreniere, for some inexplicable reason, deflects it in. But the poor puck handling and just throwing it right off the boards to absolutely nowhere and allowing, you know, Florida to get the possession and throw it at the net is just inexcusable. And he's got to be the best player for the New York Rangers if they're going to win. And he's got to be the best goalie in this series if they are going to win. So while he wasn't terrible, and he's not my first person I'm looking at, not the first reason why they lost this game, he's got to be better. They have got to be better. And for some reason, as we're going to get to right now, the calls at 877-337-6666, the idea of Rempe being on the ice seems to be a talking point. And everything I said, the spark, the energy, maybe he could provide them with something. But we've seen, you know, the crowd certainly loves him. I'll give him that. And I'm not, you know, knocking him, but we've seen the coach not have faith in him and not have confidence in him and not want to play him. So I'm hesitant to put a player on the roster who's not going to play. And I don't think, I know most people somehow believe that he's going to change everything. And I know, I guess I missed it. I went upstairs and was helping put my son to bed during the first period intermission. I didn't see Messier say that that's something that has to happen, that they have to play Rempe. If he did, Messier knows a hell of a lot more than I do. And he's not the first person to say it. As we played Sean Avery last night, tell you that they need to play Rempe. But if they're getting, like many fans think, they're getting out-physicaled and they're getting out-toughed and they're getting out-hit,
all right, you want to bring a little bit to that of your game, fine. But you're not going to, and by adding Rempe, maybe that helps. But you're not going to change the way they play. I had a caller tell me, oh, well, maybe Florida will be looking over their shoulders. No one's going to. They're not going to change the dynamic of who they are and what they think is best for them to try and win a series against the Rangers by, and suddenly change that game plan up and not be as physical and not lay hits because the imposing threat of Matt Rempe, I don't see it. But still, there needs to be a spark. Because they were flat in this game. They had a couple of chances. They had a couple of breakaways from Schneider and Cooley. But they, you know, Gustafson particularly makes that extra pass. They you know, when he's right in front of the net, they tried to make the extra play, the extra pass. Some of the same stuff they get bogged down into when they are playing their worst hockey. And last night was not a good game for the New York Rangers. But it's only game one. And despite all of that, despite not playing well, despite coming out flat, despite Igor being the second best goalie between the two goalies in the series, despite all of that, despite Florida playing the kind of game they want and taking the crowd out and doing what they do and limiting the Rangers to 23 shots and all of that, this is a one-goal game in the third period. This was a game out there to be won for the New York Rangers. I am not giving up. I do not expect the same effort in game two. I expect them to come out with a little bit more fire and a little bit more energy and play their game and work a little bit more and get a little bit more of offensive chance 5-on-5 and hopefully, you know, be as dynamic on the power play, which, again, the special teams was still there for them. They didn't score a goal in only two power plays, but the second one did seem to really get things going, and that the penalty kill was brilliant. Florida did nothing on their three power plays. So they still got that going for them. I believe Igor will be better. I believe the energy will be better. And yes, they lost game one, and now, yes, game two is an extremely important game for the New York Rangers, but I have belief. I do not think they're dead. I do not think that's who they're going to be the rest of the series. I think Florida played their game, and it was still there to be won. Go out and take it. And I think they will in game two. This is a series, all right? The old cliche, it's not a series until the home team lost, until the home team loses, excuse me. So, well, now the home team is lost. Home ice advantage is gone. They need to go out there Friday and get themselves back into the series. 877-337-6666. Eric in Ronkonkoma. What's up, Eric?
Hey, C-Mac. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, man. How are you?
Good, good. Just real quick before I get to the Rempe thing, you know, that, you were commenting as far as like what Hal Steinbrenner was saying.
Yes.
And I know like Steve Cohen had a tweet earlier in the week.
Responding to someone who wrote a story about Blow It Up, and he said, can't do it now. Wait until the trade deadline. Then he had to come out and say he believes the team's a playoff team. You know, it's owners putting their foots and their pens and their typewriters in their mouths.
I mean, this is. I mean, look, I'm just talking about myself in particular. This is why I really try not to pay too much attention to a lot of the comments on social media and stuff like that, because when you get, you know, comments like this, or, you know, all you need is a couple of people to take, you know, even a piece of what was said, and they run with it, and then all of a sudden, you know, other people see that opinion, and they don't know. I mean, it's just, there's actually too much input out there, you know, and then it just goes crazy. I mean, for me personally, I go off of what I see as the performance and everything, and that's what I base my,
right,
you know, my opinions on that. I mean, so, for example, like with what's going on with the Mets, clearly they're not playing well. I'm going based off of what I'm seeing and not what,
what
I'm hearing, because, you know, just, you know, there's too much of that.
And but, what you're seeing with the Mets is not pretty. They look like they were going to be able to salvage the last game against Cleveland. Jimenez, of all people, who tomorrow we'll get more into the Mets. I have a full 5-hour midnight ride. We'll get a little bit more into the Mets tomorrow, even though they're off. The Yankees will play in the afternoon. We'll do a little bit more baseball and get you ready for game two of the Rangers playoffs. But if you look at the numbers, and we'll do a little bit more of this tomorrow, the numbers of Jimenez and Lindor since the trade are way too close for comfort, considering the amount of money Lindor makes. But he hits the game-tying three-run home run. The bullpen does not have a great day. Another day where the Mets bullpen is throwing things and bashing things in the dugout. It is a rough go for the New York Mets right now, and they are playing themselves into a garage sale come July and oblivion. Absolutely right. In a few weeks here, so they better. This homestand is going to be enormous for them. But again, we'll get more into the Mets tomorrow on a 5-hour midnight ride.
That kind of leads me yeah, that kind of leads me a little bit into the Rempy thing now.
Yes.
Now, I heard what you played yesterday with Avery, and I, you know, I didn't hear the Messier comments, but it seems to me, now look, I know everybody expects this to be a tough series, which it should be. I mean, you know, Florida is the defending Eastern Conference champions.
They certainly are.
You know, the Rangers are the best team this year in the East, well, actually in all of hockey. So, you know, as far as the regular season record, I mean, but to say before the game even started yesterday that you got to throw Rempy out there, to me, now again, interpretation is a lot of things here, but that sounds to me like it almost feels like the Ranger fan feels like they can't win unless they get somebody beaten up.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't, and Eric, thank you for the call. I don't know about that necessarily. I don't think it's the same as I don't think it's the desperation I felt like the Knicks showed by playing a hobbled Anunoby to start the game. But I think the crowd loves him. And listen, the crowd it's a talking point. It was definitely not as energetic as it's been. The crowd was dead. And maybe they could use a spark. And if the coach feels they could use a spark, I think that's the best argument for Rempy. I really don't think, and call me crazy, I understand that they were physical, Florida. And I understand they were hitting and backchecking and forechecking. I get it. And there were hits in this game, and they were getting beat on the boards. And, you know, but that's got to be something, that's got to be wholesale changes. The entire Ranger team needs to adjust to that. And I refuse to believe that one player coming in changes all of that. One player who plays 4 minutes in these games because the coach doesn't trust him to not take a bad penalty. I watched the game. I know they were getting out physical. We thought that was a possibility. We knew it was kind of the strength of the Panthers compared to the Rangers, and they got to get tougher. But the idea that, oh, the Panthers won't just, you know, they're not going to lay those hits knowing the you know, Matt Rempy is out there. Why? They're not going to do what they think is the best tactic to win a series against the Rangers because Matt Rempy will be patrolling the ice. What is he? I mean, come on. I just don't see it. The spark, get the crowd going, fine. The team feeds off him, fine. If it comes, it would be one thing if I thought they were taking cheap shots or runs at Zibanejad or Panarin, and you felt like you needed to go out there and enforce, you know, that's the term, the enforcers, to go out there and force, hey, stay off my guy, you guys are going to get punched in the mouth. Like, okay, if I felt like that, they're just getting physical, it's tough hitting. Like, they got to be better, they got to be tougher, they got to go lay the wood too. Like, you can't just rely on, oh, we'll play Rempy. I don't buy that. I don't. And I don't think it will impact how Florida will play. Spark, get the crowd going, fine. Impact the team if there is a fight. If you really feel like the team is flat and needs a spark, if the coach, who I trust, has had a great year, who's been in a million different clubhouses with a million different teams and probably has a good feel for this team and just flat teams throughout the playoffs, as he's now broken a record for taking teams to the playoffs, he gets this. So if he feels like there's a point where his concerns about Rempy and his play in the third period in close games and taking penalties is going to be outweighed by the need for a spark, then we'll see it. But I need as many goal scorers and playmakers and hockey players as I can get against this team. That's how I look at it. Ryan in San Diego. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
All right, thanks. Your point about if he's only going to play 5 minutes is absolutely, I agree with that 100%. I think if you're Messier, what he's hoping is that he does like that spark under the team, because guys like Cooley was awesome earlier in the year, hitting everything that moved. Trouba hasn't been Trouba in a while. And I think it could inspire someone to make a big hit that changes the way that they play. Because you can only control yourself. You can't control Florida. And I think that's what he's saying. Is that,
yeah, I get it. I mean, he lays a big hit and suddenly the whole team's like, hey, we can do that too. I don't know. I guess. I just don't. I mean, The idea that this team would need motivation or be inspired, like if the coach in this next day, right, if all day today he's on their ass about hitting, he's on their ass about being more physical, he challenges them, he dares them, he's up in their face about it, well, that won't be enough. They need to go see Rempe do it. Like, it's the playoffs, man. It's the Eastern Conference Finals. If you need a spark in the middle of your season as you feel like you've hit a drag here, all right. And in many ways, he did that for them. But, I mean, this is it, man. This is the Eastern Conference Finals. You're playing the Florida Panthers. You're one step away from getting to the Stanley Cup Finals. This is what they've been striving for. This is what they've been building towards. This is why you lift all them weights. They need Matt Rempe to go out there and lay a hit before they do? I find that hard to believe. But again, I stopped playing organized sports at high school, although I was damn good at it, which I always feel like the need to remind you. Because I have nothing else. I peaked at 17. Anyway. I didn't say that. I find it hard to believe that the Rangers need to be inspired to play physical hockey and get out of this rut by Matt Rempe instead of just their own desire to win. I find it hard to believe. I do. But if they would know better than me. And certainly being a part of championship teams and winning these series, Messier knows a hell of a lot more than I do. So I can't say there's no merit to it, because someone I revere and respect as much as Messier wouldn't say it if there was no value to it. I just find it hard to believe. I respect this group of Rangers too much to say they need Matt Rempe to go out there and start hitting people before they get tougher and snap out of this malaise, for lack of a better term. I respect them too much. I believe in them too much to think they need something like that. I think they need the best hockey players on the ice. That's what I think. I think they need to roll their best team. I think they need to roll their best lines. And in my opinion, despite the struggles of some, Rempe is not part of that group. And I think the coach feels exactly the same way, because they're willing to throw Filippito out there after they throw him after one game. He needs more time after that. I mean, the guy's clearly still dealing with some aspect of it. He's getting cleared by the doctors. But, like, if he felt Rempe was a player who could do this for them, he'd be playing. And when he did play, he didn't play minutes then. And to me, the conversation becomes a little bit moot when I watch the games and I realize that even if he's on the team, he's on the bench in the entire third period because the coach doesn't trust him. And until that changes, what's the point? Throw him out there for one shift, go lay one hit. Throw him out there and say, go, you know, take off someone's head and we're going to all go crazy. All right, maybe that'll work. John in Mazbeth, what's up, John?
Hey, C-Mac, how's it going?
Good, man, how are you?
Good, good. You know, I heard Hal Steinbrenner's comments yesterday. And,
yes.
You know, kind of want to question the timing of it. You know, it's kind of unnecessary to say that in the middle of the season. You know, maybe he's trying to set the tone for a Juan Soto negotiation.
Yeah, you know, someone tweeted me that.
There's really no reason for him to really come out and say that.
No.
Kind of just like,
there's no reason to put bad juju into the fan base right now when honestly, despite that, the fact that they lost two games to Seattle, which is, you know, ridiculous. It is very hard to find something to complain about and something wrong with the New York Yankees. It's so hard that people are making up reasons.
He needs to realize that winning equals money.
I think he realizes that better than you.
Yeah, like every week, the YES Network is breaking new ratings. It seems like if you look at the team values of teams such as the Patriots and the Golden State Warriors, right?
Yeah.
When the Patriots first got Tom Brady, they were worth about $800 million. Now they're worth $7 billion.
Right.
When 10 10 years ago, the Golden State Warriors were worth $700 million. Mm-hmm. Now they're worth $7 billion.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, you know? John, you could look at every franchise in professional sports and have a jump. Maybe not as dramatic as the two you're mentioning, but it's not just based on winning. Every franchise has gone up in value. And the Yankees are built on winning. Winning, they're worth billions of dollars. If they win a World Series, it's not going to double in value. All right? It's just not. It's not going to be the same thing. You build a dynasty, sure. I mean, you know, you're going to make more money, sell more tickets. How much more tickets can they sell? But he understands winning is what brings the money. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. He understands that. They need to win. They don't need to win the World Series every year, but they need to win. Last year was unacceptable, and that's why he's done this. Now, as far as the timing of it, I hate it. I do. I hate it. We are literally clutching at straws to manufacture issues with the New York Yankees. Their pitching staff is going through a stretch that they haven't, without Gerrit Cole, by the way, that a Yankee starting staff hasn't been this good since 1968. That's how good they've been the last two go-rounds through this rotation. They've been unbelievable. The lineup has been on fire. They have the best record in the American League. They've scored the most runs in the American League. They've given up the least amount of runs in the American League. Their bullpen has been great. You are heart-pressed. You are talking about manufacturing the idea that Seattle's elite, so you can say that they've lost two games to a good team and it's a problem. And, you know, the Boone put in a reliever you probably shouldn't have put in. These are the things we're screaming about because there's nothing else to scream about. So why give us something else in a moment where you have to do everything, you have to dig for an hour to find a single thing wrong with the team, and you just handed over a talking point for all your haters and all the Yankee haters to just have fun with, and now Juan Soto won't be signed, and you know, that now that's a conversation. It was stupid timing. Now you're the second person to mention it. Someone else tweeted it at me. Could it be some sort of leverage play? Well, because right now they're in the middle of Juan Soto negotiations. I find that laughable. Do you think you're going to go to a meeting or have a phone call with Scott Boras and say, hey, if you don't do it now, you know, we don't have to do it. In fact, we don't really want to spend the money. So you got me at a crazy moment, Scott. Right now, I'm feeling so good about the team, and I love watching Juan Soto play. I'm feeling a little bit crazy. So you better do it now, because who knows how I'll feel at the end of the year. To which Scott Boras will say, okay, I will take my 26-year-old superstar after having an MVP-type season in the Bronx, no doubtably playing playoff games, where he's already won a World Series and dominated in such a series, in such a moment, in such a place and time. And then I'll take him and I'll go sign a $500 million contract with someone else, Hal. The idea that the Yankees are going to scare off Scott Brosius. Don't scare off Scott Brosius. I love Scott Brosius. They're going to scare off Scott Boras by threatening him with, hey, we don't have the money? I don't think so. A Scott Boras who's desperate to take this guy to free agent. Anyway, the only way this is going to happen is if the Yankees offer some crazy money and Soto says, you know what, let's just do this. I love it here. You told me that's probably what we were looking at. They're offering it now. I like it here. Let's go. Other than that, he's going to free agency, and that's not going to happen. So he's going to free agency. So this isn't a negotiation ploy. This is Hal Steinbrenner answering a question honestly at the wrong freaking time.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Now the pass across, they score!
Sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 432, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 877-337-6666. We need more of that. We need more Ranger goals. None for blank for the first time in this postseason. Bobrovsky was unbelievable. And listen, only a handful of saves, but he did stop two breakaways, although one did get past him and off the post. But he made all the saves he needed to. Saves that, you know, you would have thought would have gotten by him, would have probably got by Anderson in the previous series. You know how good he is. You know how good he's been since last year's playoffs. And it's going to have to be something they figure out. And Igor is going to have to be up to the task. And again, he wasn't awful in this game, but that first goal is soft. And then the second goal is directly by his poor play with the puck. I mean, he just throws it up against the wall. I don't know what he was trying to do. Obviously, get it up ice, but I mean, it was just terrible. And that leads to the ridiculous self-putting goal by Lafreniere that just ends the game. They got blanked. They need to figure out a way to get more shots. They need to figure out a way to get more offense. You'd like to see them figure out a way to get more penalties so they can go on more power plays. And thankfully, that was still decent, and the penalty kill was excellent again. So they still got that going for them. And plus, they just didn't play very well. And still, it's a one-goal game there to be had in the third period. And now it's a series. And we'll see how they respond in as close to a must-win game as you can have without it being an elimination game. So we'll see how they handle it. Robbie and Lake Success is on The Fan. What's up, Robbie?
You know, I don't have to make my call. You said everything I wanted to say. All kidding aside. Number one, I agree with that's it. That was my call, what you just said. But I'll add on to what I'm thinking about here. Watching this game, it's like a chess match. Someone, this is not Frederik Andersen in net. This guy is a Vezina Trophy. He's equal to Igor. I'm going to put that a dead even position.
Yeah, that's
position
what they said at the beginning of the game, and they said it's a wash.
Dead even. And one thing I watched, listened to Valakhet and watching my eyes. Number one, they played Florida, they're heavyweights. This is a dead even series. And do I believe the Rangers will win? I think they will win this series just because what I've seen all year. But this team, they're going to, like you said, they played the perfect game against the Rangers, a style. The first period was a feel-out period, going what they had just seen against the Canes. Now we're going to have to figure out how they can get more shots, get more offense. Florida forechecks well. They always have someone back. And when I'm listening to Valakhet, I don't have to listen to anybody else but Steve Valakhet.
Yeah, he's very good.
Okay, and even Ferraro. They're winning the battles against the boards, the little battles. That's what they were saying.
Yeah.
And the way the Rangers are going to – it's chess. It's chess. Now we're in a series of two equal teams. And this could go any which way. But the Rangers, if they figure out – we have the power play, like you just said. We have the special teams are better. If the power play gets chances, which they only had really one chance, and they almost scored. A little flurry late in the third period.
Yeah.
That was the best they looked all game.
Yep.
It's what's going to have to happen is – game by game, you know, period by period. They have, you know, Boomer says that period by period. No, it's about, yes, that's true. But it's about figuring out what they have to do to beat this
type of style, which is basically an equal style. It's the first time they're going up against a team as good as them. And that's pretty much it. You hit the nail pretty much on the head. Dead even series. I'm not surprised. The thing that, you know, they played the perfect, you made a perfect game, and your point also on, I was thinking about that goal, the first goal, as I played the position, he looked like he was a little out of position on the angle, okay? The glove, the puck just went over his glove, possibly with screen, and the second goal, I agree with you, it was kind of a silly play, but at that point in the game, you would have hoped by then the Rangers would have figured something out. They're going to figure something out. They're going to look at this, and it's going to be a chess match, and it's going to be, will they be able to figure out a way to just get more offense. Once they get a flurry going, once they get a power play, more opportunities, one or two goals that go in, everything's going to change. You know, it's hockey's momentum. And once the goal gets in this guy's head, maybe he'll get a little, you know, uptight. And that's the way hockey is. One game, one shot game, perfect game by Florida. And that's my point. And you hit pretty much everything I said, Chris.
Yeah. No, listen, thank you for the call, Robbie. I appreciate it. And I agree. Listen, these series are, there's no reason to be overly concerned just yet. I mean, I'm concerned. Florida's an excellent team. And if you want to call it a chess match, fine. They just made the first move. It's up to the Rangers to adjust. And they're going to have to figure out a way to get more offense. And Igor's got to be, I mean, he's just got to be better. Again, I don't blame him for the game necessarily, but the two goals really, when you don't score, that's they didn't score a goal. So that's first and foremost. But the two goals that were given up, I feel like was a soft goal and then directly led to by the play of Igor. So he's got to be better. They say it's a wash. It wasn't a wash in game one. Bravovsky was better. So let's see how Igor adjusts. But yeah, the little battles, the toughness, and we'll see what adjustments the coach makes. I think a lot of the fans, and clearly, as a caller mentioned, Messier and, of course, Sean Avery yesterday, we went over it, are clamoring for Rempe. And we'll see if that's the kind of adjustment in this series that is something Laviolette will make. I don't expect it will be, as long as everyone's still healthy, as long as Hedl gets through the game, which is no guarantee. I do think there was a hit on him late in the game, like as time expired. So we'll see how it goes. But they got to make an adjustment. They got to figure out a way to get more scoring chances. They got to throw more pucks at the net, and hopefully they'll get more power plays and create more penalties because more scoring chances, because they're just going to have to. But it is a series, and they're going to have to figure it out. And it's a hard-fought series, and by no means do I think the Rangers are done. You know, losing game one puts you at what? I know the 67-68 percentile chance of losing. Teams who have won game one win 68% of the time. But, hey, that means you can win 32% of the time. And that gets you in the Hall of Fame in baseball, doesn't it? 877-337-6666. Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
Hey, Chris, four quick ones.
Four quick ones.
Igor is not as good as the Florida goalie until he proves it to me anyway. Florida goalie is unbelievable.
Okay.
Igor got benched this year for a month for Quick. I know he came back great.
Yeah, I mean, it was more of inconsistent games.
And the Florida goalie, man, you watch what he's doing. Watching Boston, I mean, he had the one bad game, the first one. After that, he let up maybe one goal each game. But anyway, the second one, never asked you, would you rather do a show by yourself? You know, you're doing a show by yourself or have a partner?
I haven't done a ton of partner work. I've done so many more shows by myself. But no, I mean, listen, I would love to do a show with a partner. You interested in the job? We could yell at each other for 2 hours.
No, we'd kill each other. But yeah. I was just curious because I always ask the host because I could never see doing a show for like 5 hours. I don't think anybody realizes how hard that is.
I don't think people do, Brett. People don't realize how hard it is to do 5 hours. And then in the middle of the morning.
Yeah, no clue. But then the Rempe thing, obviously you're wrong.
Yeah.
Obviously the coach is wrong because... No, I'm saying they didn't score a goal. I mean,
No.
I'm just saying you're talking. All that does is it's listen, Rempe, like the face of what the Ranger fans were this year, right? But wasn't that the talk of the whole city, right? And then, not go on the ice at all. It changes the dynamic of the whole entire city. And you're going to have all the callers talk about it, right? So we don't have to get into it, but
they just beat Carolina without him. You make it sound like they just made this decision today. He didn't play in the Carolina series. They won. Like you make it sound like they just.
Water is this bully team that bullies everybody. They're physical. I think that's the definition of what Rempe was. But it's a conversation that
he takes bad penalties. They can't afford to take bad penalties. We'll see what happens. Either coach doesn't trust him to play.
So I don't think it matters. Then the last thing is the Yankees. And I find it ironic how all the teams you've bashed everybody, been so negative on the Giants, the Knicks. Like you're negative.
Yep.
When it comes to the Yankees, yes, you assess them, but you're not as quick to be negative. This isn't a hater.
Wow, wait. No, I get you, Brett. Honestly, take a second.
Yeah.
Just take a second. And think of the difference. Let's play a game.
I know.
One of these things is not like the other. Okay? You mentioned my Giants. I'm tough on the Giants. I'm tough on the Knicks, which I don't think I was that tough on the Knicks this year.
If the Yankees weren't good last year, right? But go ahead.
And I killed them last year for not being good. I mean, I don't know what you want me to say. Here's the problem. The Yankees, year after year, are good. The Knicks are terrible for 20 years. The Giants
are ready for the other shoe to fall off.
That's not true. The Giants have been bad for years. I can't. Brett, I can't. Here we go. I got to kill the Yankees but defend Daniel Jones. I get it. And yesterday you told me what a bad contract that they could possibly be giving Brunson, but you'll sit there with a straight face and tell me that it's not that bad a contract for Daniel Jones. I get it. Brunson's bad. Brunson, I don't think we could pay that money to. Daniel Jones. That's great. I get it. I mean, you want to talk? The idea, because you're not the only person that gives me this. Chris, you know, you're very tough on the Giants, but yet everything's these rose-tinted glasses for the New York Yankees. Well, I wonder why. The Yankees, in a terrible stretch over the last few years, have been to the ALCS 3 times. And this is as bad as it gets, right? We hate them. They've been to the ALCS 3 times. We hate them. The Knicks can't get to the equivalent of the ALCS. They've been terrible for 20 years. They've been zeros for 20 years. We haven't had to pay attention to them for 20 years. The Giants are not only losing. The Giants are the worst team in football 6 out of the last 7 years. Nobody has, prior to that playoff run 2 years ago, nobody had lost more games over the last 3 or 4 years than the New York Giants. Their seasons were dead before Halloween, year after year after year. So excuse me if I'm a little bit more positive about a team that even on down years, that the end of the year we hate them, but on those down years they're playing in the ALCS. When the down years for the New York Giants are, I'm done with them before I get my kids ready to go trick-or-treating. I wonder why I'm more positive about one than I am the other. It's amazing. I don't know what it could be. It's probably just my bias and love for Brian Cashman. I don't know. I really have to rack my brain for why I'm more positive about the New York Yankees than I am the New York Giants. I mean, I know they've won a championship more recently, so that means everything. I was positive about the Eli Manning-led Giants. They weren't smart enough 15 years ago to give me a show. I happened to start my radio career, my hosting career, while the Giants have been the worst team in football. So, hey, I'm a victim of my times. It boggles my mind. Why are you, of all the teams, because of all the teams, of the Knicks, who've been terrible forever, the Giants, the Jets haven't made the playoffs in a Baker's dozen years. They're the embarrassment of not only football, but all of professional sports. I mean, the Nets have the greatest collection of talent in the history of the NBA, and they can't get out of the second round, and it blows up in their face. Do I need to say more? That's why. The Mets, you know, make the playoffs 1 year, and, you know, you can count on one hand the time in their history they've made playoffs in consecutive seasons. But I wonder why. I wonder why the team that always makes the playoffs and on terrible years makes it to the ALCS, I wonder why I give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't know. I'm going to have to do some self-thought. I'm going to have to really break down. Maybe I should talk to someone. Giannotti just texted me. I'm sure, you know, maybe I could break it down with him. I don't know why. I'll work on it. It's a personal flaw.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers.
I think it all comes down to Chris Kreider. I think I put the bet in. Rangers going to win. Kreider, anytime goal. And, you know, let's go Rangers.
The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:52. I'll try and figure out that conundrum of why I'm willing to give the Yankees the benefit of the doubt, not other teams. I'll work on it. I'll try and be better. 877-337-6666. All right, let's take as many phone calls as we can. We got 8 more minutes before top of the hour and before the warm-up show. Get you on your way to start your Thursday morning. Get you ready for Memorial Day weekend. I'm gonna try and make it Friday. I'll be totally honest. I know a couple of people have asked. I haven't spoke to Evan. I haven't spoke to anybody about doing anything. But I haven't spoke to Evan about singing. I know a couple of people have reached out to me. I don't know if I'm even gonna make it. Believe it or not, my son has his pre-K prom. You heard me correctly. His prom at noon tomorrow. My wife works. Guess who's home at noon these days? So I have to, I guess on my son's prom date at his school tomorrow. And I mean, it's like 12 to 2. That means I'm not going to sleep much. Then I'm going to be doing that to drive at 2 o'clock all the way out there. I live in upstate New York. I don't know if I'm going to make it, but if you get a chance to go. DJs is great. We have a great time. It's a lot of fun. The weather is supposed to be nice on Friday. There's nothing better. I love going. The 2 years, you know, I was part of the Carton and Robert show. We had a blast. I loved everything about it. It's such a good time. So if you get a chance, go. The whole crew's going to be there from the morning show through the afternoon show. It's a lot of fun. There's always a lot of venue. There's a lot of vendors and things to drink, obviously, plus the bar, all that stuff. You sign up for a better cell service and have a great show. I mean, it's just, it doesn't get any better than that. So definitely, you get a koozie from somebody. It's worth it. It's definitely a lot of fun. So if you have a chance, I'm looking forward to it. Check it out. I'm going to try and make it. I don't know if I'll be able to. And I haven't talked to anybody. I doubt I'll be singing. But we'll always have the previous 2 years. We'll always have my rendition of Wanted Dead or Alive. It was actually in the promo of the video Izzo put out. I was proud I made the promo. So, everybody, enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. We still have tomorrow for that, but we're getting ready here. 877-337-6666. Paul and Yonkers, what's up, Paul?
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Hey, we lose 3-0, but we had two clear breakaways. And these aren't. This yes. isn't a game in November. One of you guys got to beat the goalie. No, really.
No, I'm not. Just the way, I'm not, the way you said it, Paul, you're right. One of you guys got to do it. There's no doubt about it. Unfortunately, it wasn't Panarin with the breakaway. It wasn't Zibanejad. It wasn't Kreider. It was, you know, it was yes. Schneider, who's had one goal in 28 playoff games, and Cooley. But I agree. You got to figure out a way.
Right. You got the opportunity, and you broke ahead of the field. I'm sorry. Somebody's got to beat this guy. And the sad part is it hit the post.
So, yeah, I mean, so that's what I was going to say. Ironically, he did kind of beat him. Yeah, he got beat by the post.
You know, and then that takes away the second goal we give up because our goalie was trying to make us some stupid play, and then that made that mess. So 1-1 would have been a different game.
Oh, but no doubt.
Two breakaways. Somebody's got to beat this guy.
No, I mean you're not wrong, Paul. Those are excellent scoring chances, clearly, but they didn't, and there weren't enough scoring chances. They had that one flurry, and then that the power play was right upon it, and that felt like the game. What was it, 8-9 minutes left in the game? That I tweeted out, this is the game. Like, it felt like they needed to score on that power play or it wasn't going to happen for them. And then soon after, you get the ridiculous goal to end the game, essentially. Frustrating. And, yeah, breakaways that don't score are frustrating. And, you know, you'd like it to be. You would hope that you'd get a more talented offensive player than Schneider to get the penalty. But that's what it was, to get the power the breakaway. But it is what it is. They've got to figure out a way to get more. It doesn't change anything. They've lost that game, right? If they get breakaways, they need to score them. Totally agree with you. But that's not enough to just say, hey, like, it's not, I don't think you could just hang on. You could just say, hey, I know the offense struggled, but you did have two breakaways. Not good enough. Not good enough. There's got to be more scoring chances. You can't say, hey, Chris, what are you talking about? They had two great scoring chances and breakaways. Yes, they did, but not sustained pressure, not legitimate scoring chances. You need more. You need more. They still need to do a better job. Two fluke breakaways is not enough to say, hey, the offense had opportunity to score. If you put both those in the net, they win the game 2-1. Like, it's not fair. Chris in Seagirt, New Jersey. What's up, Chris?
All right. Well, I'm a sour grapes Devils fan, but I curse the Rangers, and I'm glad that they're suffering as they are because of Matt Rempe. The guy is a goon. You know, the Ranger fans are so pompous. Like this caller, he said, we. You watch, they play. There's no we. But the Ranger fans are pompous. They cheered Matt Rempe as he hurt Siegenthaler and Bastion. So they deserve every loss.
Oh.
I am glad. And, you know, the Devils are an afterthought in this area, even though they're the last team that has won the Stanley Cup. Of the three.
They are.
But nobody talks about that.
Right.
Nobody talks about that.
And we're not going to start now, Chris. Sorry. That felt good. That felt good to say that. I don't know why. I don't even hate. I do hate the Devils. That's not true. But that felt good. We're not going to talk about them now either. You think you're going to call up at 4:57 the day after the Eastern Conference Finals for the Rangers? And talk Devils with me? You want to know why no one talks about them? You want to know why? Because nobody cares. Sorry. Sorry, Keith McPhee. Sorry, Keith. I know you're a big Devils fan. Nope. Not this morning. Tonight, this is about the Rangers. It's not about the Devils. It's not about last year. You guys had a great series and came from behind and beat the Rangers yet again. And my first year back of being a real big, getting back into the Rangers, I have to admit, I lost them for a while. Feel like I lost the Knicks for a while, too. But 2012 and that season with Tortorella and that team, and which that season ended by the hands of the New Jersey Devils. I hate them. I'll hate them forever. And yes, they won in the 90s. But not today. Today is how did we figure out how to win game two. Because honestly, Florida played a pretty good game. They played the game they want to play. Igor wasn't as good as his counterpoint, Bobrovsky. And they've got to figure out a way to get better. But having said all that, it was a one-goal game. And this is now a series, and they can go win it. So go do it, starting tomorrow. And tomorrow, I will see you again at midnight for a 5-hour midnight ride. But until then, enjoy your Thursday. Have a great day. Fliegelman, thank you. Thank you, as always, for calling. Thank you for listening. Even you, Brett. Even you. Thank you so much. Everybody have a great day. I'll catch you tomorrow at midnight. Let's go Yankees. They play this afternoon. Let's get it done. We'll catch you then. Later.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.